Tonight we're going to take a look at some demonic sexual distortions that our culture has held on to, and hold on to your socks. We're going to talk about some crazy stuff, and if you got some questions along the way, scream it out, and if at the end, I'll hopefully save some time that we can ask whatever you want. You can try to embarrass me, go for it. All right, here's our first sexual distortion, and that's this. Demonic sexual distortion number one is the media, and I think it starts here with our media. And I don't know if you guys pay any attention to the things you see on TV or the things you see in movies and or listen to on the radio, but this first place of demonic destruction and distortion, really, it starts with the media, things you listen to, and there you have Nicki Minaj there, you know, beckoning you. But this is kind of how our world is, you know? It's pretty sad. But you know what? Even as a young guy, as a young man, listening to the music I listen to, it would affect me. You know, especially the things that are on the radio today, it's so crazy because it totally makes girls seem like all they're here for in life is to pleasure men. That's all you guys are here for. That's all. That's it. That's nothing else for you guys except to pleasure us. And that's not true. And it's an amazing thing because most of the rap songs and hip hop is all based on, you know, weed and, you know, getting shorties and this kind of deal, you know? And if you ever drive down the freeway through the 91, you're going to see signs with these poor young girls telling you, come here to this particular gentleman's club, which really it's more of a pervert bar, but to try to get you to come in. Even our TV shows that are all distorted when it comes to family and sexuality and homosexuality, it's everywhere. It's trying to inundate us. And really, you know, sex-saturated media leads to sex-saturated people. And our music is so sexually explicit, it's almost embarrassing when you listen to it. And, you know, I grew up in the hood, like I said, and we had gangster rap, and it was bad. And I remember listening to it at the time. We'd go out to parties and go out to places, clubs and stuff, and listen to this gangster rap where it just, the defamation of females, that was just kind of the way you rolled, you know? And it was amazing that when people say, it doesn't really affect me. And, you know, I get that question a lot. Hey, can I listen to secular music as a Christian? Yeah, you can, but what's the message? What's the message? What's it really telling you? You can listen to whatever you want. I mean, Beethoven, Bach, these are secular musicians, but what's the message it's telling you? Because if it's feeding that garbage in your brain, it's going to be garbage out. You know, garbage in, garbage out. So I'm always careful of the things I listen to and the things I see. I want to make sure that I'm not going to be, you know, distorted by the media trying to tell me what is or what isn't okay. So that's our first thing we need to look out for. Secondly is the internet. Now this is crazy because the internet it could be used for good, it could be used for evil. Where I grew up, and I remember the first time I ever saw pornography, or really it was a Playboy magazine, I don't know if we call that really pornography, but I guess so. And I was probably 10, and I was building a fort on these railroad tracks. And I went behind these bushes, and I found this magazine. It was full of dirt, and, you know, you unwind it and, you know, wring it out, and there's these naked girls inside. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I'm 10, you know. I can't believe this. And, you know, of course, you show all your friends and everything, but it's not like it is today. Today, high-speed internet, I mean, within a magazine like that, you have, like, three girls, and half of them were dirty, and you couldn't really see anything anyway. But nowadays, this high-speed internet, you can see up to 3,000 images, whatever image you want, as quickly as you want, all within an hour of time. But even Time Magazine, it says that young men even grew up with internet pornography are becoming advocates for turning it off. That's because a lot of people will say it's not a big deal. Porn's not that big of a deal. It doesn't hurt anybody. You know, I've heard that over and over. You know, some guy at the gym told me a couple months ago, hey, it's okay to look at the menu as long as you eat at home. I'm like, what? I wouldn't want that. Looking at some menu, then coming at home to eat? I don't think so. It does hurt, and it does hurt other people, as we'll see here. But more studies have proved that boys, the age of 11 is the average age of the internet user, and 9 out of 10 youth have seen porn already in some form or fashion. The biggest views of porn is the ages of 12 to 17. And 33% of those are female now, which is pretty crazy. You know, I saw a study they tried to do at Stanford University. They tried to see who had seen porn and who hasn't, so they could do a study on it. And they couldn't find one student who hadn't seen porn at some time in their life. So they had to abandon the study because they couldn't find one person to do a study on it. It's an amazing thing. But I don't know if you guys know this, but really porn, it rewires your brain, especially these young brains, these preteen brains, as well as teen brains, and on. But porn rewires your brain at least four different ways. And the first thing, it remolds our brain, is it gives men a new standard of beauty. And this is unfortunate, because it changes our view of the average people, and we start to rate women by porn stars. We start to think of people and how they rate to porn stars. So it's not the real person. You know, you're looking at an outside, and really, you know, this is how we go to meet people too. You know, we look at the outside, we say, hey, outside looks good, let's continue on from there. But the most important part is the inside. You know, we spend so much time with grooming the outside, working out the outside, but the most important part is the inside. And really, that's what God looks at as well. And that's what should be cultivated. Because believe me, as much time as you think about sex and do sex, you know, maybe during the week, you spend more time talking to someone, talking to that opposite person as you think about trying to touch that person. So the inside of people are so much more important than the outside of people. So it gives them a new standard of beauty. We all think that everyone should look like Barbie, which is not true. And then secondly, male brains don't just view porn, but they enter it. They don't just view it, they enter it. We have what's called mirror neurons within our brain. And this is pretty crazy. And I showed this to our men's retreat, and I showed a football player that he went to catch a pass, and his leg broke in half, and his foot was going the wrong way. And everybody gasped when they saw, like, oh, man, like some of the guys are grabbing their leg, like, you didn't catch the pass, man. You didn't hit you at all. What's wrong with you? And because our mirror neurons fire, we say, oh, gosh, that must have really hurt. We see his foot turned backwards and skin all stretched. We go, oh, ouch. That's our mirror neurons firing. Some of y'all faces are a little crazy right now, too. But that's because our mirror neurons, they send messages that we have that same feeling almost. But that same mirror neuron fire when you watch porn as well. Because you don't just watch it, your brain places you in the scenes themselves. So the more porn watched, the more their brains look like addicts' brains. It's pretty crazy that cocaine, methamphetamine, alcohol, heroin, and Pastor Todd's going to have me come back and talk about drugs. Apparently I'm a forefront of the drug users too. So I'll be back here to talk to you guys about drugs and, you know, all the drugs I've done as well. But it's amazing that porn addicts have the same MRI brains as these users do as well. We have in our brains what's called dopamine, and it's that feel-good sensation when you have like a Krispy Kreme when it's really warm and you go, gosh, that's so good. That feeling, that same feeling that you get because there's an excess consumption of dopamine that's being released into your body that makes you feel good. But your brain begins to rewire itself. That's called rewarding circuits. When that dopamine is filled, you like that. You want that feeling. You crave that feeling over and over. And this peak idea of dopamine, this excess chronic consumption of dopamine, it becomes this binge mechanism where we get what's called this delta phosphate. And it goes to the front part of our brain. The front part of our brain is it's the brakes of where we get to say no. And from there, it's like the person that watches porn over and over and over, that heavy consumption of dopamine, it's like walking in the grass over and over. It causes a path. And through that path, you can't really stop. So the same addict who takes cocaine, methamphetamine, whatever, that same where they can't say no, that same addiction, the porn user has that same problem as well. That consumption of over and over and over, it numbs the pleasure response where you need more and more. And that hyper reactivity to porn and the willpower is eroded away. And so we see, and all the studies show the same thing, the peak dopamine and the neuroplasticity of our teens, it actually reshapes your brain. And it takes 11 days, on the average, not to watch, not to look at any porn for your brain to start to reshape back to the way it was. So it actually does change the way your brain looks. And even for addicts, it looks the same. Like this addict here, you can see at age 28, this meth user, and as you can tell, methamphetamine, crystal meth, all that stuff is no good. You can see the progression of what happens when you're addicted to something as deadly as meth. And obviously her teeth fell out and she died at age 38. So she only lived 10 years doing methamphetamine. But the consumption rate on methamphetamine, the way your brain works, is the same like porn as well. So it changes you. And that's a scary thing to realize that, you know what, this has actually changed my brain. Here's a picture of our brain. And we can see how here underneath the hypothalamus is where this is released. This dopamine comes down into our brain. This is where we get that feeling in our frontal lobe. Here is where the brakes are that we like to say stop, but that porn user can't say stop. They did a study of a healthy volunteer and a compulsive pornography user. And they both sat in front of the MRI machine and they put a laptop on their chest. They told them exactly, this is what's going to happen. We're going to, you know, introduce you to pornography and show you. And the person who was a chronic user, his brain already started lighting up like a Christmas tree, knowing all the dopamine started flooding his brain, knowing that this was coming. Where the healthy volunteer goes, oh, okay, whatever. But the other person, the compulsive person, it went crazy. So, interesting enough, the porn user, his brain looks so much like the addict. And here's something else I thought was interesting, too, as I was studying for this. The gamer, the person who loves games, especially young people, is they have that same dopamine release in their brain where they can't say no. Mom says, time for dinner. And they say, not yet. You know, one more man, one more gun, one more level, one more, one more, one more. Because it's almost hard for them to stop and that their brains are starting to look more and more like addict's brain, especially those young kids who play games a lot too. So lastly, when it comes to this demonic deception, when it comes sexually, that porn makes violence sexy. It makes you desire more, and the women exist to give you pleasure. You know, and this is a sad thing too, because these young kids who are 10 or 11 years old, who look at pornography the first time, the most frequently looked up, searched image is that of the young-looking schoolgirl, Catholic schoolgirl look, you know? And when you look up those different searches, the most thing that you'll see is that these women are, these young girls who look like, they're actually women who look young, they're slapped, they're choked, they're beat, and they're gagged. These are all part of what love is. And it's teaching these 10-year-olds, these 11-year-olds, that this is what true love is. True love is choking, gagging, slapping, hitting you, and having your mascara run down your face and look like you've been beat up and you're crying. That's what love is. And here's the sad part. The worst part is that young girls, that 30% of the girls that watch it, think this is what love is too. And they expect that to happen. They think it's okay if that happens. And it's not. Okay? This is not God's design, obviously. I mean, ladies, you guys are God's gift, and you're not to be treated that way. You're co-equal, co-heirs of the gift of life. There's never a time that you should ever be hurt, you should ever be, you know, victimized, you should ever be treated as some sort of pleasure machine. That's not why God has created you. You know, it's amazing to me, you know, how I just met with a couple weeks ago, the guy, like, hit his girl. I'm like, dude, I'm about to take you outside right now, because how do you hit a girl? You're, like, so much bigger than her. You know, how do you, you know, have violence upon a girl, especially a little girl like this? It's amazing to me. But you're not to be that way, obviously. But just like drug use and just like how drugs start, it's never satisfied. And that pornography, it's never enough. And that's why these many binge users will be on pornography for hours on top of hours. An interesting study came out that most serial killers, they started out with pornography. And they worked their way up through hookers and, you know, real life experiences till that wasn't enough either. And then it moved on to death and killing. You know, it's so important, especially fellas, watch your eyes, the things that you intake. I mean, we don't get Victoria's Secret at my house. No way, no way. We don't get, you know, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. I don't need any of that stuff in front of my eyes. I want to make sure I guard my eyes and not open myself up to those kinds of things. Because let me tell you, porn's not going away. It's only going to get worse. And the latest craze is going to be what's called virtual reality, where you wear those goggles. You guys seen those? Or you wear the goggles and you actually enter into these scenes, and it's going to get worse. And that's really where this industry is really heading towards, is virtual reality. You can actually be in there and interact within these rooms or with these people, whatever. Which leads us to another great question that Pastor Todd told me you have to talk about this. So here I am. Is self-sex wrong? This is another word for masturbation, but I think self-sex sounds so much better. So we'll call it that. Is it wrong? And this is a question that I've had in counseling over years and years, and people ask this question. And here's a few questions that I typically will ask. And some will say, isn't this a natural body need? Doesn't the body actually need this? And the truth is no. Your body doesn't actually need this. Your body has a way of releasing itself if it is a need. And, you know, that's a possibility. But to sit there and say, I need to do this because it's a natural body need, isn't necessarily true. And like I said, your body can automatically have a release of that where it isn't actually body need that you have to do. But here's the second one. Can you do it? Can you have self-sex without thinking lustful thoughts? And is it a possibility? I mean, Jesus said, you know, if you lust after a woman, it's the same as having adultery with her, same as having sex with her. So if you lust after her in your mind, it's the same as doing it. So how can you have self-sex without having a lustful thought? I don't think you can. And here's the third one I think we should consider is this. It doesn't take any faith. Self-sex doesn't take any faith. There's no reliance upon God. There's no time where I'm saying, okay, God, I'm showing restraint. Not at all. It's selfishness in the sense where I'm giving in to my desires. So it doesn't take any faith. And last one, the question, would you do it with Jesus in the room? Would you do it? And it really goes with almost anything. Would you do X with Jesus in the room? You know, you should be able to say whatever you do, whatever you watch, whatever you listen to, would I do it with Jesus in the room? Because you should be able to. So when it comes to our second demonic sexual distortion, the internet is definitely one of those, and it can obviously, it leads to self-sex so easily, and that's the whole design for it. Something that, when you consider, questions on that one? I didn't think so. All right, hold on to that thought. Let's see if there's any takers. Let's look at our next one. Demonic sexual distortion number three. Everybody's doing it. Don't you know that everybody's doing it? Don't be left out. But let me tell you the truth. Not everybody is doing it. Not everybody's having sex. It's not true. Not everybody is. And it's a distortion that the enemy tries to tell us. And this peer pressure concept of when it comes to sex, if you love me, then you'll have sex with me. This is not a truth. And ladies, if you have some lame boy that's telling you that, hey, you know what, if you love me, you'll have sex with me, he's not for you. He needs to grow up a lot, and you need to dump him and run as quick as you can. Because that's not the kind of guy you would even hopefully consider. You know, when it comes to that, guys will typically say, I love you, to get sex, and girls will typically give sex to hear, I love you. You know, they're both wrong, obviously. But it has nothing to do with love. And when it comes to sex, we want to make sure that we keep that in God's original design. Because remember, God's original design for sex was perfect. It was in marriage. It wasn't in a casual response. It wasn't, I mean, nowadays it's so crazy because it's not even, you know, when I was young, it's like, well, if you kind of found her attractive, it was okay. But now it's like, well, if you can tolerate her, then it's okay. I mean, the standards are so low when it comes to, you know, hooking up with someone. It's bananas. It's crazy to me. But God's original design for marriage was one woman, one man, for a lifetime in marriage. Sex, you know, before was not even an idea of God. It was after you made the commitment. And I get people that will tell me all the time, well, marriage is just a piece of paper. You know, maybe some of you guys have heard that, just a piece of paper. And man put the paper there, so it doesn't matter. In God's eyes, I'm married. I can't tell you how many couples that live together that are playing house say that this is, you know, what they believe. They may believe that, but it's not true. Is that paper represents the commitment that you have before God. That paper also represents the law of the land that says that we need to obey the authorities of the land. So if the authorities of the land say, hey, marriage is this contract, this paper, and this commitment by saying, I love you forever, not I will tolerate you for a little while until I can't. But this whole society idea of living together first, trying it out, you know, getting the cow and the milk too, well, what's the point? You know, it doesn't work out. Most of the time, 40% of the time that people try this whole playing house part, it doesn't work out. Because sex was designed for marriage. And so when God created marriage, it was one woman, one man for a lifetime, no practicing beforehand, and waiting to your wedding night. That was the original design. But society has such a double standard when it comes to sex. You know, guys are considered studs and girls are considered sluts. And this double standard, it shouldn't be, because it should be the same. There should be abstinence on both sides. We shouldn't have to think about, you know, what's it going to mean if I do this, if I don't do that. You know, there are the conquer idea and those who are conquered. You know, it's up to the girl to say no. So if the girl doesn't say no, then we're all green lights. Let's keep going. You know, the guy should say no. You know, men, you should be able to say no. You should be the one saying, no, I don't want to put myself in this situation, put myself in this place where this could happen. You know, I can't tell me how many young people that I've talked to that say, all we were doing were watching movies in our bed, you know, in her bed, and I don't know what happened. I'm like, well, you're watching movies in her bed, and this is what happened. I mean, it's hello, and the door was closed, and my parents weren't home. Well, that's what's going to happen, bro. Put yourself in that situation, and guess what? That's going to happen. You know, and the guilt that follows, I can't see how many girls that I've talked to that say afterwards, like, you know what? I thought it was a good idea at the time, and I felt so guilty after. And it's true. You know, I had some neighbors that lived next door to me, some 25-year-old guys, and it was always hilarious. Usually on Saturday around 9, 10 o'clock, I would see a couple of girls leave the house, like doing the walk of shame. You guys know what the walk of shame is? It's on the next day where you're bummed out because you made a bad decision the night before, because you were probably influenced by drinking. And so these young girls in their little party, you know, skirts were walking with their shoes in their hand to their cars that were down the street. But over and over, you see, they're not happy, they're bummed out, because they're like, oh, I can't believe I just did this. You know, silly me. You can see the guilt on their face. There's so many teenage female suicides due to that guilt from that sexual experience after. You know, gals, if guys trying to pressure you to have sex with them, you need to move on. Because the problem is, so many girls are looking for a Christian guy. You need to be looking for a godly man. Capiche? A Christian guy doesn't do it. You need to be looking for a godly man, someone who's going to pray with you, someone to read the Bible with you. Last thing on his mind is to, you know, take your clothes off. That should be the last thing he should be thinking about. You need more than just a Christian boy. You need a godly man. And guys, this is what you need to be. I mean, hello. Being just a Christian guy isn't enough. You need to be a godly man, someone who steps up to the plate and knows right from wrong, is willing to say, hey, you know what? Say to his friends, hey, I'm a virgin, it's okay. You know, that's what you need to stand up for. So this idea of peer pressure, that everyone's doing it, it's not true. Not everybody's doing it. But another question that I'll get from Christians is this. You guys know this move when you're in the movies? You know, put your arm around someone. How far can I go as a Christian? You guys ever wonder this one? How far can I go as a Christian? Okay, I got a girlfriend, I got a boyfriend. How far can I go? You know, can I put my arm around her in the movies? Well, maybe, possibly, probably. But here's what my favorite verse is when it comes to that. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2, it says this. Treat younger men as brothers and older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. So when someone says, how far can I go with this girl? I say, as far as you would go with your sister. However far that would be. Would you hold your sister's hand? How many of you guys would hold your sister's hand? Okay, good. Two of you. The rest of y'all are kind of weird. That's kind of odd. Maybe you're thinking I'd go a lot farther than that. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you'd kiss your sister on the cheek. You know? Maybe. Maybe you'd kiss your sister on the lips. I don't know. And you guys kiss your sister on the lips? Just stand up right now and come forward. No. Okay, don't do that. No. No. You know, it's funny. My wife's mother kisses her on the lips, and I'm always like, whoa, I don't kiss my own mother on the lips, you know? I'm like, I don't know. I just think kissing on the lips is just a little too intimate for me that I want to do it with anyone who's related to me, for sure. But this is absolute purity, you know? This is absolute purity right here. A good old golden retriever kissing you is a purity. But this is absolute purity. Anything other than that, if you don't treat them as a sister, you wouldn't go as far with them as you would with a sister, is an absolute purity. I don't know where it stops. You know, so can I make out with this chick? Can I, you know, get super close with them and super tight with them? Is it okay? Well, I think if you start thinking lustful thoughts, then you could be going down the wrong road. You know, and that's where Jesus says, hey, if you think lustfully after them, then bad things can happen. Let me tell you this, if the key's not in the ignition, the car doesn't start. Capiche? So absolute purity means treat them as a sister, whatever that means to you and your sister and or brother. Let's look at our fourth one. Demonic sexual distortion number four, it doesn't cost anything. Go ahead and do it because it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. It doesn't cost you anything. You know, there is much to pay, actually. Sexually transmitted diseases are on the rise in the United States like never before. And some of these diseases don't go away. HIV is up even more. There's supposedly there might have a cure for HIV, but not so much, not yet. But we can see over and over where there's so much chlamydia, gonorrhea, HIV or syphilis, genital herpes, all these great, glorious things happen. These are when you don't abstain. When you're abstinent, when you don't engage with sex, guess what? These aren't even a possibility for the most part. But you can't. That's why abstinence is such a good option for you. When it comes to chlamydia, it's actually on the rise today, which is pretty crazy because it is curable. But you can see where the red is the super, they're really sexually active apparently, that are not protected. And we see what happens over and over. But this unprotected sex, it's rampant too. I was reading in Cosmo magazine, where one of the new Vogue things now is girls to preserve their virginity are having anal sex just to preserve their virginity. Now they're having sex, different kinds of sex, but still claiming they're a virgin because, you know, they haven't had that sex yet, but they're having anal sex. But let me tell you, your innocence is still gone. You're still, you know, engaging in this. You still have to go, you know, to different lengths to make that happen as well. It's a sad thing. Even if you don't go all the way, there's so many things along the way that will cause that innocence to be driven from you. And let me ask you this, would you want your future husband or wife to have all this knowledge behind them? I mean, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I wasn't a virgin when I got married. I wish I was, though. I wish I didn't have some of those experiences and some of those thoughts. Because let me tell you, when you give in to this sin, you rob your spouse of future experiences, as well as there is the possibility of comparisons. When you have no history, no knowledge of that, it's so much better than having knowledge in that area and wishing that you didn't. Because I tell you, you know, there's memories I can't get out of my mind. You know, there's things I've done in my past and all kinds of crazy things, but these memories don't go away. And you don't want those memories, because here's the deal, the devil will bring up those memories like ammo to infiltrate your mind. And it's like I've given him that ammo years ago that he can recall anytime he wants. These memories don't go away. You know, it's a better thing to be absent. It's a better thing to come into a marriage not having to worry about any other experiences, but knowing that, you know what, I'm here. And I hear this all the time, too, that, well, I want to make sure the performance is good, right? And it's a fallacy because it's not about performance. You know, when you're with your spouse, it's not about performance, it's about being enraptured with their love. It's about the two of you guys together loving each other, enraptured with that love. It's not about, you know, being a porn star. It's not about your performance. It's about your love for one another. And that's one of the biggest, I think, deceptions that the enemy tries to use on us. It's about performance. It's about, you know, how was she? How was he? It doesn't make a difference when you're in love with someone, when you're married to someone. It's the same. It's love. It's two hearts mending as one and being one together. That's why God says the two shall become one flesh. And that's the most important part, that we need to become one flesh. But not to mention, when we say it doesn't cost anything, how many unwanted pregnancies occur because of this sin? Too many. Pastor Todd's going to talk more about abortion in the future. But you know what? Abortion isn't needed unless there's sex that happens first. There's no abortion needed unless there's sex that happens first. And Todd's going to talk more about that too. So I'm going to tee it up for him, let him go. But this sexual sin, it's not like any other sin as well. And when you rack up those numbers, when you rack up those partners, you can see here some statistics on percentages, people that report multiple partners, and we see that girls, thankfully, for 21 people or over, are only down to 3%, where guys are up to 17%. They're the same at zero, 3% reporting that they are virgins still. But the numbers, it's an amazing thing as you watch the numbers grow for the guys and then continue that and taper off a little bit. And for the gals, you can see how close it is too. From the 2 to 4 partner range, 36% of the reported women have had 2 to 4 partners before they're married. This sin is not like any other sin. Did you guys know that sexual sin is different than all other sin? In 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sin a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. You know, when we say it doesn't cost, it doesn't cost us. It can. It can cost us the most important part, and that's this. It can cost us the kingdom of God. When we say that sexual sin doesn't cost us, that's not true. That's one of the biggest lies of the devil. Here in Galatians 5:19-21, it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live or practice like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This practice, this sexual sin, practicing sexual sin, can't keep you, like all the rest of these sins, from the kingdom of God. When the enemy tries to deceive us and tell us that, you know what, it doesn't cost you anything. It could cost you everything. Not just your purity, not just your experience, but it could cost you the kingdom of God. You know, I can't tell you how many couples that are caught up in sexual morality that all of a sudden they don't care about God. They don't care about church. They don't care about coming to a fellowship and being a blessing to others. All they care about is this act. You know, Satan wants to cheapen the human body. He wants to cheapen your virtue. And your virginity, it's of great value. The distortion of this sex, and it runs rampant through our culture today. It's everywhere. And the world wants to cheapen this act, but God wants to preserve the act. This act of marriage, it's a beautiful and it's blessed. You know, and maybe you've blown it in this area in the past. You know, God can make you new again. You know, just like Jesus told the woman who was caught in adultery, go and sin no more. You know, if you've blown in this area, you know, I get it. But God wants us to continue on. There's forgiveness with him. You know, if we confess our sins, in 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that Christian bar of soap that can wash us and cleanse us. But don't go back to that same place of distortion, how the enemy wants to demonically try to take you down that wrong road again, because that's his goal, that's his desire, to get you to go down that wrong road again. So be careful. Make sure we understand that this deception, it's out there, it's prevalent, and it's not going away anytime soon. Questions on sex, on this part of it? If you're thinking of a question, I'm sure someone else has the same question too. So you could ask it as a friend of yours, asked you on Facebook or Instagram this question, and you can relay it that way if you want. Questions on that? A topic like this? No questions, you guys? I'm almost embarrassed for you. But it's out there. You know, there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of pressure when it comes to this as well. So I hope that, you know, what's that? And here's the deal, too. You receive less pressure. You should receive less pressure when it comes to Christians and interacting with Christians than you should in the world. You know, if you're thinking that you're going to find a relationship with someone who's not a Christian, then the pressures, it's multiplied by 100. Because remember, their goals, what they want are different than you, hopefully. You know, and the same thing goes for guys and girls. I mean, it's so crazy now that girls are so forward. You know, I had a girl at the gym about a year ago or so offer me her phone number. She's like, hey, if I give you my phone number, would you call me? I'm like, no, my wife wouldn't appreciate that. She goes, I wouldn't tell her if you don't. I'm like, what? Yeah, no. I will definitely tell her. So, yeah, that's going to be a no. You know? So that ain't going to work for me. And it shouldn't work for you. I'm like, geez, these girls are so forward. So fellows, too, the same thing. The enemy's out to destroy you. And he wants to get you wrapped up in this. He knows how easy. And here's another thing to consider, too, that sex is actually a drive. It's a natural drive of the body, like hunger is, you know, and like wanting to stay alive. These are all natural drives the body has within itself. And sex is one of those, too. But it needs to be, like we said earlier, in that proper place, in that fireplace, so it doesn't run rampant. So it's different than stealing. You don't have to steal, right? You don't have to do that. But the body already naturally has that desire for sex. And so it's easier to fall into that temptation where you might want to give in to that because it's a natural drive of the body. So all the more reason why we need to be careful when it comes to that as well. But it's out there. It's one of the ways the world wants to destroy us and trick us into it. Any other questions on that? Yep. Go to the gym. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. Get to the gym. Yeah. No, that's a great question, Nate. So when you start feeling that too, that's, and I would start looking to the Lord. I'd start reading the Bible. I'd start making sure I'm in fellowship. The more that you're out of fellowship, the more that you're out of reading God's word and hanging out with God's people, the more that temptation will come in. And so the more you saturate yourself with positive, godly, spiritual things, the less you're going to give in to the fleshly things. Because remember, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So we need to give in. We don't give in to the flesh, but give in to the spirit. Make sure you're, having other Christian brothers pray for you. Accountability is a great thing too, peeps. You know what I'm saying? Is tell your other friends, hey, you know what? I'm struggling in this area. Can you keep me accountable? For there's some great apps out there that you can help keep accountable to some of these desires for someone to ask you and then to pray for you. But just like other drives, you know, you can have them by, you can curb some of those desires by going elsewhere with them, since you don't want to give in to those desires, but you can counteract them with a godly desire, a godly thing. Yeah, next. So Max's question or comment was that, hey, what about not being alone with someone? Is that a good idea? And yes, obviously being alone with someone, you're expediting the opportunity to fall into that temptation. You know, when you're late at night at someone's house and there's no accountability, there's none of that, it's so much easier to fall into this temptation. But when you're, that's why like groups like this, Vertical, is such a great group because you guys are together. You know, rarely do you see people making out in the pews over here, you know, rarely. Because you have everyone around you, you're here, right? You know, you're at church, you're not, you know, getting all crazy in the sanctuary. But being together in groups helps keep that safety there as well. Yeah. Question, another question on sex or dating, kissing? So true. I mean, good for you, Nate. I mean, it's hard to admit sometimes. It's hard to confess. Or maybe you think that people are going to think you're prude or lame. But you know what? It takes more strength to restrain than it does to give in. Anybody can give in. You know, it takes someone who, I mean, I had a youth group kid one time, and he goes, oh, Pastor Tej, I wish I had a testimony like you. I wish, you know, that I could say I was a drug dealer, criminal, and crazy person like you. I'm like, and he's like, but I gave my life to Jesus when I was 5, and, you know, I've never seen a naked girl, I've never seen drugs, I've never drank a beer or anything. I'm like, are you kidding? That's a better testimony, because you haven't given in. It's easy to give in. You know, it takes a live fish to go upstream. Any old dead fish can float downstream, man. That's what you want. You want that testimony. Because like I said earlier, too, you don't want to have your spouse have this whole laundry list of things they've done and seen and been a part of. You know, you want them that way. You want them pure. You know, I had a couple. It was so cute. They were a homeschool couple. They met in junior high, and they were seeing me for premarital counseling. And they were so cute because they were, you know, real quiet, and we've been together since junior high. We were both homeschool, and their parents didn't teach them anything about sex education. So they come to my office, and I'm like, oh, okay. And so we go through the whole booklet about, you know, communication and all this stuff, finances, and the last chapter is on sex. So, you know, they're kind of squeamish. So I said, you know, let's do this. I'll grab my secretary and I'll have her, you know, talk to the gal outside in another office, and you and I, me and the fella, we'll have a little conversation about it. He's like, oh, okay, great. And so I dismissed the girl, and she was glad because she was already read talking about some of the other things about sex. And so I get him in the office alone. He's like, I'm so glad that you did that because I've never seen a naked girl. I've been in homeschool all my life. My parents were super prude about this whole sex thing. I didn't have any sex education. So what's down there? I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, I'm so glad that you have this time now. So I explained to him what was there, and he was like, you're kidding. I'm like, no, it's real. I'm like, wow. But the good news is they have 3 kids now, so they figured it out, and I did my job, okay? So if you need premarital counseling, I'm your boy, okay? Yeah. But that's what you want. You want that kind of innocence, you know? You want that kind of, hey, I had no idea that's how things work. I had no idea that's where that was. I had no idea. These are good things, you know? That innocence is a good thing. That you want that. I want that in, you know, in my wife. You know, my wife was married before, too, so we were both came into the marriage with different preconceived notions. We had different ideas. We had different experiences. You know, I was a drug dealer criminal, and, you know, everything goes with that. So I had too much ammo for the enemy to use. So, you know, the way you want to be that, you want to be that place where it's innocent and you don't know all the craziness of the world. It's better that way. Take it from me, you know. Any other questions on that? All right, well, let's pray.